Hello, you're listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind radio reading. Lowell Association for the Blind Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. It's your main source of accessible community news and information. We're located in Lowell, Massachusetts. We read local news, editorials, feature stories, and more. Lowell Association for the Blind Radio is brought to you by volunteers and staff of the Lowell Association for the Blind. I'm Leslie. I'll be reading to you today from the Tewksbury Town Crier. Lowell Association for the Blind would like to thank the Nancy and Richard Donahue Charitable Foundation for their support. The lead story today on the front page is telling us Board's residents clash at battery storage meeting in Tewksbury. The article is by Paige Impink. A joint meeting between the Tewksbury Select Board and Board of Health last week drew an overflow crowd and impassioned comments as town officials, experts, and residents debated a proposed battery energy storage facility and the terms of a draft host community agreement. Town Manager John Curran reviewed details of the draft agreement. Curran also provided a recap of the approval process for the project, emphasizing to residents that the review of the Hillman Energy Project resides within the State Energy Facilities Siting Board. Curran explained that though the HCA, Tewksbury is able to negotiate controls on the project, if approved, including payments and additional considerations from the proponent. Taking a purely adversarial position on this project will deny the town the opportunity to incorporate more safety conditions through this process, said Curran. Town officials have been criticized for not opposing the project publicly. Residents living closest to the project have concerns about emergency response times, evacuation procedures, and potential chemical exposure in the event of a battery fire or malfunction. William Martell, who lives approximately 40 feet from the site, said the project would place a 30-foot wall outside his home and expose his family to constant noise and potential danger. My house is in the danger zone, he said. If something goes wrong, how long will it take for help to arrive? And how will I even be notified? Energy storage specialist and fire consultant Mike Nicolaus, attending the meeting remotely, explained that emergency response would follow standard procedures and protocols, with alarms triggering a central monitoring station that would notify dispatch typically within minutes. Nicolaus noted that firefighters would assess conditions on scene before determining execution measures, emphasizing that response times and outcomes depend on a wide range of variables. Several residents raised concern about hydrogen, fluoride, and other hazardous gases that could be released during a battery fire, citing independent chemical testing funded by the Sheehan family. The family owns property in the industrial zone where the proposed facility is slated and has been a vocal opponent. A significant portion of the meeting focused on tensions between the Board of Health, the Select Board, and the town manager. Residents questioned why the draft HCA allocates funding to other departments but does not explicitly include the Board of Health. She also expressed frustration over being denied independent legal counsel, arguing that the board has a responsibility to ask public health questions. Karen responded that the Board of Health does not have regulatory jurisdiction over the project at this stage, and that peer review funding is intended for departments with permitting authority, such as the fire, building, and conservation departments. Also on our front page, talking, the Attorney General sues Tewksbury, Wilmington, over MBTA Communities Law Compliance. The article is by Paige Impink in Tewksbury and Wilmington. Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Joy Campbell announced last week that her office has filed suit against the 9 municipalities, including Tewksbury and Wilmington, for failing to comply with the state's MBTA Communities Law, escalating a long-running dispute over the local zoning area multifamily housing. The lawsuit filed January 29, 2026, names the towns of Dracut, East Bridgewater, Halifax, Holden, Marblehead, Middleton, Tewksbury, Wilmington, and Winthrop. It seeks a court order compelling each community to adopt zoning that allows multifamily housing as of right, as required under Section 3A of the Zoning Act. The MBTA Communities Law, signed by former Governor Charlie Baker on January 2021, was enacted to address Massachusetts' housing shortage by requiring communities served by the MBTA to create at least one reasonably sized zoning district where multifamily housing is permitted without special permits. According to the Attorney General's office, 165 of the state's 177 MBTA communities are now in compliance. Massachusetts has a housing crisis, and our Commonwealth is unaffordable, Campbell said in a statement. While bringing a lawsuit is never my first choice, courts have consistently ruled that compliance with this law is mandatory, and the urgency of our housing shortage compels me to act. The 9 towns named in the lawsuit were required to have compliant zoning in place by July 14, 2025. Campbell's office cited the Supreme Judicial Court's 2024 ruling in Attorney General versus Milton, which upheld the constitutionality of the law and confirmed that compliance is mandatory. In July 2025, the Attorney General warned non-compliant communities that enforcement actions would follow if zoning was not adopted by January 2026. In Tewksbury, the issue has been the subject of repeated and often contentious debate. Planning Board Chair Stephen Johnson has consistently warned that ignoring the law would carry real consequences, including the loss of state funding and potential court action. You get a definitive answer. This is the law, Johnson said during a February 2025 Planning Board meeting, referring to the SJC ruling. He cautioned that discretionary state funds amounting to millions of dollars annually could be at risk if the town remained out of compliance. Those warnings have already begun to materialize. Tewksbury Superintendent Brenda Theriault-Regan told the school committee in December that the district has been denied at least 2 grants due to the town's non-compliance. One of those was a $25,000 early college pre-planning grant, which would have positioned the district to pursue up to $250,000 in additional funding over the next 5 years. Town meeting voters rejected a proposed compliant zoning district in 2024, and the planning board declined to advance a new proposal for a vote in 2025. Johnson argued that continued inaction would lead the state to intervene directly. They could simply appoint a special master to choose a compliant zone without giving residents a choice, he said. We have an opportunity to do something that we choose to do. Select Board Member James Mackey said the lawsuit should not come as a surprise. I don't want Tewksbury turned into a city through high-density zoning, Markey said, but I also don't want taxpayers footing the bill for an unwinnable legal battle over filling budget gaps caused by further loss of state funding. We should be working to comply in the least disruptive way possible so the town, not the courts, controls where and how this gets done. Town Manager John Curran said, the Select Board is expected to discuss the lawsuit in executive session, potentially at its February meeting. Wilmington officials said they anticipated the Attorney General's action. Town Manager Eric Slagle noted that the town had obtained preliminary approval of a zoning amendment that would have complied with the law, but it failed to pass at three separate town meetings. Based on conversations that our town council has had with the Attorney General's office, we expected this result, Slagle said. He added that town council will meet the Select Board in executive session to discuss litigation strategy. Wilmington Select Board Chair Frank West, Sr., criticized the state's decision to sue, expressing frustration that local votes and recent housing production were not given greater weight. The majority vote from the voters voted down the MBTA 3A proposal. West said, I personally am disappointed that the state doesn't take into consideration the hundreds of units that are in process of building, as well as the units that have added in the past several years. In its complaint, the Attorney General's office is asking the court to declare that each town must create a compliant zoning district and submit a compliance application to the Executive Office of Housing and Livable Communities. Campbell's office emphasized that it remains available to provide guidance and technical assistance to communities seeking to come into compliance. And the board is reviewing preliminary fiscal 27 budget. The article is by Rosalind Impink in Tewksbury. Tewksbury Town Manager John Curran presented the preliminary FY 2027 budget to the Select Board on January 27th. He thanked Finance Director Al Rigo and staff for their work on budget preparations. Curran reviewed the budgeting process, which starts in the fall with budget development between department heads and the town manager. In January, operating budgets are submitted to the Select Board and Finance Committee for review, with enterprise and capital budgets submitted in February. The school department and the town manager in January operating budgets are submitted to the Select Board and Finance Committee for review, with enterprise and capital budgets submitted. The school department develops its own budget in conjunction with the town manager. Once the Finance Committee makes a recommendation, the budget then goes to the town meeting. Curran explained how Proposition 2.5 affects revenue projections. The prior year tax levy limit is increased by 2.5%, and a new growth estimate of $1 million reflecting new construction during 2025 is added to get the new levy limit. Curran noted several items to monitor in the future, including economic development and new growth, capital improvements, financial impacts of non-compliance with the MBTA Communities Act, and managing the town's stabilization fixed. Proactively addressing many of these issues would assist the town in increasing its current bond rating of AA+ to AAA, which allows the town to unlock more favorable interest rates on borrowing, therefore lowering debt service costs. Town department budgets will next be reviewed by the Town Finance Commission, and the school department will hold a budget hearing in February. You're listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind's radio reading. Lowell Association for the Blind would like to thank UMass Lowell's WUML-FM for providing the radio signal that allows us to broadcast 5 days a week. Thank you for listening to Lowell Association for the Blind radio. There are many ways to listen to Lowell Association for the Blind radio. You may request a free specialized radio receiver, or for more information about our radio receiving service, call Lowell Association for the Blind at 978-454-5704. You can listen to Lowell Association for the Blind radio anytime by dialing 1-631-359-9069. And you may visit our website, where you can tune in to Lowell Association for the Blind radio at lowellassociationfortheblind.org. This has been Leslie. Thank you for listening, and enjoy your day.